Good day, friends, and welcome to the Spirit of Bible Study from the East End Church of Christ. We want to invite you to our services. We have Bible study every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. We have classes for all ages, no matter how young or how old. We have worship at 10 a.m., then period of worship on Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., midweek Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. Come out and be with us. You would be our honored guest. You'll always find a warm and friendly people. People that love God, love His Word, love His church, love the souls of men, interested in doing Bible things in Bible ways. That's always our intention and goal. Also want to invite you to listen to our Bible Call program. That's 473-2255. 473-2255. It's a local call here in McMinnville. Hundreds of Bible topics, 5 or 6 minute lessons. You can choose a certain Bible topic and hear the scriptures and lessons from the Word of God on that. Also, our internet, pioneerpreachers.com. Pioneerpreachers.com. Spell that all out in one word, small letters, and you can hear the gospel preached 24 hours a day on the internet all around the world. And there's a lot of other good information there for you as well. My name is Garland Robinson. Before Jesus died on the cross and arose from the tomb, death stalked the earth. It did so as a horrible, ruthless monster, carrying off its victims one by one and leaving those grief-stricken mourners behind. But all of that changed when Jesus rose from the dead. For we read in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 10, that He hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It was because of that hope that the Apostle John could write in Revelation 14:13, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." That, friend, is hope that we have in Christ. But we have to be in Christ to be able to have that hope. In Hebrews 12:2, we read, "Where Christ joyfully endured the cross, despising the shame." And in Hebrews 2:14 and 15, we read, "That in order that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death," that is, the devil, "and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." For until Jesus was raised, the question of the ages had been, if a man die, shall he live again? That's what was asked in Job 14:14. But dramatically the answer was given by Jesus as He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." John 11:25. So truly, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. That hope is founded on the promise from God's Word. We read in 1 Thessalonians 4:14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." How blessed are the dead who sleep with that promise. Notice we read about a promise in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, where Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Death is no tragedy when we die faithfully in the Lord. Rather, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. With calm assurance in Christ's promises to His own, Paul was able to write in Philippians 1, verse 21, and verse 23, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Friend, this old world didn't hold such fascination for Paul. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:8 where he said, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Paul's hope was set on higher ground, for he said in Philippians 3 and verse 20, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." In trusting faith, Paul could say, "I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6. He was confident of what was waiting for him beyond death. When we die in the Lord, we are promised rest from our labors. The Christian life is a life of labor and rest that will one day await us. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29. The saints of God trust in something better after this life is over on this world. In Job 3:17, we read, "There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary are at rest." But remember, this promised rest is not for everybody. Now, they can have it, but sadly, the majority choose not to have it. That rest is for those who obey the gospel and live faithful unto the Lord. We read in Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 18, "And to whom sware he that they should enter not into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." An example of Israel failing to find the land of rest is used to show that saints can also fail because of our unbelief. In Hebrews 4, verse 3, "For we which have believed do enter into rest." Then verse 9, "There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God." The reward of that rest will compensate for all of our trials and our labors here. Hebrews 6:10, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name." And then in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." Not one deed or work will go unrewarded in the judgment. For we read in 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." When we die, our works will follow us. The theme of eternal reward according to our deeds runs the whole course of the Scriptures. It was Paul who spelled it out so clearly in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 8 and 9. He said, "Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are laborers together with God." Paul pictured the day of judgment for this purpose, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. There's an old saying that you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. Well, Jesus taught that when he said in Matthew 6, verse 20 and 21, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Jesus spake often of the rewards laid up for those who served him. the aged apostles, all the books opened, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Revelation 20 and verse 13. What a privilege it is to do a banking business in heaven, knowing that there moths and rust and men do not break through and steal. But this blessedness is qualified. That is, there are some requirements that need to be met in order to receive it. John wrote, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord." That does not include everyone. A person can't die in a state or relationship he's never entered in life. I could never die in Europe without first going to Europe. Even so, one cannot die in Christ without first entering Christ. Read the precious promise found in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 4 to 18. But as you read, notice these phrases, "Even them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him, and also the dead in Christ shall rise first." Comfort one another with these words. But notice that all of these things are said for those who are in Christ. Thus, we believe one of the most vital things to be learned is how does one enter into Christ? And the Lord didn't withhold that information from us. We read in Galatians 3 and verse 27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And then we read in Romans 6 and verse 3, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, we were baptized into His death. We're baptized into the Lord's spiritual body, which is the church." 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. You know, Bible scholars through the years have sought in vain to find just one other means of entering into Christ, but it's not there. The only way you find it is in water baptism. If one enters into Christ, it has to be by baptism, because only two verses tell us about how and when we get into Christ. Both of them say we get into Christ by means of baptism, and when we get into Christ, it's by baptism. Galatians 3, verse 27, and Romans 6, in verse 3. No, it's not by baptism only. It's not by baptism alone. It'll be by having heard the Word of God, by having believed in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, by repenting of our sins, and then and only then, by confessing faith in Him, we're able to be baptized into Jesus for the remission of sins. Just as those on the day of Pentecost cried out and said, "Sirs, what shall we do?" And the answer given from heaven was, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Acts chapter 2, verses 38 to 41. And we read that's what was done over and over again. People heard the word, believed the word and what it said about Christ, repented of their sins, confessed faith in Christ as the Son of God, and were immersed into water for the forgiveness of their sins. But if one has obeyed and continues steadfastly till death, he will truly be one day asleep in Jesus, and we can say, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord." Above all, friends, obey the Lord to enter Christ and remain there faithful, for those who die in Christ will have heaven as their home. And at the last great resurrection day, you'll be able to be escorted into heaven and there hear the words of the Lord, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."